Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Please be seated. Greetings to you from your brothers and sisters in Christ in Burney, Texas at Messiah Lutheran, where I am a pastor. And they tell me I've only got 8 to 10 minutes to give this sermon, so I'm just going to get going on it. We're going to be looking at our Old Testament lesson, the story of Elijah in the cave before the presence of God passes. And I want to look at what happens prior to his arriving there to kind of get some context for where we are. Because prior to this, God has told his prophet Elijah that it's not going to rain until you say so. You go tell Ahab that that's what's going to happen. And so he tells Ahab that that's what's going to happen. It's not going to rain until you say so. And then God tells Elijah, you go sit by a brook and I'm going to send ravens to feed you. And Elijah goes. Now, I don't know if I would have gone to be fed by birds. I've seen how birds feed and I don't like that. But Elijah goes and the ravens bring him meat and bread every morning and every evening. And until the brook dries up, he has water. And then God says to Elijah, go and find this widow in Zarephath who has a son. And ask her to feed you. And he does, and he finds the widow. And of course, she's got the jar of flour and the jar of oil that doesn't run out for the entire time that Elijah stays with her. And she considers herself blessed. But then she finds that God has a different plan in mind, and her son dies. And Elijah is told to stretch himself out 3 times on this dead boy. And the boy is raised to life again. And he gives the boy back to the widow. And then God tells Elijah, go tell Ahab it's going to rain again, but first we're going to have a little meeting with his prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. And you know that story. The prophets of Baal gather to call down fire upon their sacrifice, and Baal, of course, does not answer. And Elijah taunts them for a good while. And then when nothing happens, Elijah douses his sacrifice in water and digs a trench around it and douses that in water. And he calls upon the name of the Lord 1 time, and God brings down holy fire from heaven and consumes the sacrifice, consumes the altar, consumes the water. And then Elijah takes all of the prophets, the hundreds of prophets of Baal, and kills them by the river because God has given him victory. And then he sends his servant out to look for a cloud, a little cloud in the distance. And when he sees the cloud, he says, it's going to rain again. And it rains again. Elijah has now seen God's providence through, when he says it's not going to rain, it's not going to rain, through seeing birds feed him, through seeing a jar of oil and flour not go away. He's seen God's providence raise a dead boy to life again. He's seen God's providence bring down fire from heaven and then show victory over the prophets of Baal. But when Jezebel hears about it, she says, as surely as I live, Elijah, you won't make it past this time tomorrow. And he gets scared. He's seen all of God's power and he gets scared and he runs off to hide. And he finds a broom tree in the wilderness and he sulks there and he says, I'm no good. My dad was no good, my grandpa was no good, and I'm no good either. I wish I would die. That's my translation. And God sends an angel to him and says, look, you need to eat. And the angel makes him a cake baked on hot stones and brings him a jar of water to feed him for the journey he's going to go on. And Elijah sleeps again, and an angel comes again and says, you need to eat some more for this journey you're going on. And what was the journey Elijah would go on for the next 40 days? Continuing to run, scared. God provided for him even in his fear, even in his wandering and going. And that's when he comes to this cave that we hear about in our Old Testament lesson. And it says he lodged there. It's not like he just found a place to rest. He lodged there. He's going to stay there for a while. And God says, what are you doing here, Elijah? What are you doing here? Come out into my presence. Elijah says, I've been doing everything you told me to do, and now everybody hates me, and they're going to kill me because I'm the only one left. God says, come out into my presence, Elijah. And he goes out to the mouth of the cave, and of course he sees the wind and the earthquake and the fire, the majestic presence of God time and time again, but God's presence wasn't in all of that. It's in a quiet whisper that followed. What are you doing, Elijah? What are you doing here? And he repeats himself, I've done everything that you said. And now they want to kill me because I'm the only one left. And the Lord speaks to him and says, no, you're going to anoint Hazael, and you're going to anoint Jehu, and you're going to anoint Elisha. And if one of your enemies escapes the first one, then they go to level two. And if they escape level two, they got to go to level three. And you're protected, buddy. And then you're going to pass your ministry off to Elisha. So that's where our Old Testament story was. Flash forward to our New Testament story. Now John and James and the disciples are walking with Jesus through Samaria, the same place where Elijah had been and called down fire at Mount Carmel. And the Samaritans are not going to receive Jesus because he's got his face set to Jerusalem. And now James and John have this attitude going, hey, we know what goes down here. They're not receiving you. Shall we do an Elijah thing on them? Shall we call down fire? And it says Jesus rebukes them. Remember, he had just sent all of them out into the villages, said, don't take anything with you. And if anybody doesn't receive you, do what? Just shake the dust off and move on. James and John wanted to take it into their own hands, wanted to take the retribution and the vengeance into their own hands. And Jesus says, no. What does this have to do with us today? I don't know all of you gathered here. I'm in the GPC tract. That means I'm getting my general pastor certificate. I've been serving as a pastor for about 10 years now at the place where I am. And what I can tell you is I've seen God work in mighty and majestic ways through me. And I'm a schlub. He's done magnificent things through me where I can only stand back and go, oh my goodness, Lord, how? And then weeks later, I step with fear and trepidation into a voters' meeting. Wondering, God, when will you let me die? God works through each of you if you're students or professors. God works through each of you if you're deaconesses or if you're pastors' wives or vicars' wives. God works through you in mighty ways in your family, and you need to know the power that he has through that, and you will recognize that in your life. And then the next day, you may forget it. I don't know right now. I haven't heard yet, but it's my understanding that today we're supposed to find out who the new president of our synod will be. If there will be a new one or if it will be the same one that we have had. And I don't know what the result will be, but I can tell you for sure one thing that will come of it. We will have a man in there who is a mighty man of God, through whom God will do mighty things and stave the gates of hell through him. And God will work mightily, not because of the man, but because of the power of God. Sometimes. And sometimes that very same man, whoever it may be, will walk in fear and trepidation because he's a man. And sometimes that very same man, whoever it may be, may desire to call down fire upon his enemies because he's a man. The interesting thing about what Jesus did with James and John after he rebuked them, he did not send them away. He continued to walk with them. The interesting thing that the Lord did with Elijah, as he found him in the cave hiding, as he didn't send him away, he said, I continue to walk with you. So my encouragement for you today is this. God will work mightily through you, and you'll fail. And he'll keep walking with you. That is the Lord Jesus who we have, who while we were yet sinners, died for us. And that is the faith we have in us, not ourselves, but Christ in us, and Christ in our church, and Christ in our leaders. Amen. Amen.